Morning, everybody. Happy Sunday to everybody. What a joy to be here. Today is the first Sunday in the month of October, and October is the month of the Most Holy Rosary. At the doorways, I should say at this doorway, and then on the table back by the tree in the narthex, you will see a little pamphlet on how to pray the rosary, just in case you might be a little rusty on it. I include in this pamphlet a little diagram on the back, and then inside it has the different mysteries you pray on what day. Today's a Sunday, so Sundays and Wednesdays, glorious mysteries. Mondays and Saturdays are the joyful mysteries. Thursday are the luminous mysteries. And then on Tuesdays and Fridays, we pray the sorrowful mysteries. They're all listed right in here for you. And the Bible citation next to each mystery is there. And then a little thing you might pray for in that mystery. All the prayers you need right here with a handy dandy diagram on the back. The rosary is so important. When we pick up the rosary, we pick up all of the hungry people in the world. When we pick up the rosary, we pray, we pick up all of the homeless people, all of the people who are suffering in body, mind, or soul. When we pick up the rosary, we pick up all of those young men who are thinking, should I be a priest? Or we pick up all of those young women thinking, what should I do with my life? Should I be religious or what? We pick up all the married couples in the world. We pick up all the broken relationships. When we pick up the rosary, we pick up our families. When we pick up the rosary, we pick up our parishes, our politicians, our whole bloody world. And we pick up all the memories of the Blessed Mother. And we pick up all the mysteries of our Blessed Lord's life. The rosary is powerful. And when we pray this rosary, when we put this in our hands and we pray these beads with our hearts, there's no stopping the graces that God is going to bestow on us through the Blessed Mother. I was very moved recently. I've been very excited because yesterday was the feast day of St. Mother Theodora Guerin, who's the patron saint of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And I have here her journals and some of her letters that she wrote. You know, she left France in 1840, and I've been mesmerized by this picture that I found of her rosary. But she left France in 1840, and she writes on that day, she says this, "The moment of separation has come at last. After having made the most painful sacrifices, which had cost our hearts so much, we had to break the last ties by tearing ourselves away from our mother house, that home so tenderly loved by all of us sisters. In the chapel, we bade adieu to all that was dearest to us upon earth." And then she talks about the perilous voyage that was ahead of them. And she writes about how when she stands in front of the water, when she stood in front of the water of the ocean thinking, she goes, "When I beheld the sea, I nearly fainted. My eyes were covered with the mist, and I couldn't believe what was about to happen." It's a beautiful thing. Mother Theodora Guerin and her sisters left France to come to the United States of America. It was a boat ride that took months, and it was a boat ride that almost took their lives. She writes in her journals about that and about how, like, the waves, and they almost died countless times. And then they got to New York. She has some funny things to say about New York. But then they leave New York. And that journey from New York to Terre Haute took another month and a half on roads that were crazy and dirt and gravel and all this stuff. And then they get to Terre Haute where there wasn't much. And from scratch, these nuns built a log cabin that became the first academy. Now we call it St. Mother of the Woods College. But you know, there's thousands of nuns who are buried there, and it's the most peaceful thing. One time I prayed Vespers there, and I was among all their graves, and I just felt so amazing. Like, to think about the sacrifices of all of them. But Mother Theodora Guerin and her nuns, she says that even though the storms were crazy and the boat ride and that they were so unsure about everything that was going to happen, and even though they were hoping against hope that their project would work and that this would all come to pass, she says the hardest thing on that boat was being without Mass and being without confession, being without the sacraments. But every day she prayed the rosary. Every day of the journey across the ocean, she prayed the rosary. Every day that they were on their horses or however they got from New York to Terre Haute, she prayed her rosary. And when they got there and there was nothing and they started from scratch, they prayed the rosary daily. And then she started tons and tons of Catholic schools. I'm the product of one of them that they started in Bloomington, St. Charles. It was all because of these nuns and their faith and their fidelity. But I have a hunch that Blessed Mother was behind a lot of it. There's no telling what God can do when we work together with Mary and when we work together with each other. And that's the second thought that I had for the day, is that there's so much beauty in a common project. Folks are never as close as when they're working together on a project, and especially at church. It used to be on a natural way, you know, that before suburbia and all that stuff came around, that, you know, if you needed, and maybe it still happens in a lot of places, but if you needed your basement drywalled, well, you gathered the guys in the neighborhood and you drywalled it. And you were together on a common project. You drank some beers, had some fun, and did the thing. And you did it together. And now it's easier just to call somebody and pay them. But it's one consequence, I think, of suburbia and all that stuff, which I lived in when I was growing up and all that stuff. But, like, bottom line, when we work together on a project for the kingdom, we're never as close. And I have two examples from the recent past. One of them was the Oktoberfest. Amazing. We had 50 volunteers, wouldn't you say, something like that, Gay? We had the God Squad there. We had school teachers and faculty and staff there. We had youth there. We had tons of people. The God Squad, everybody was working their tails off, and we sold 542 meals. Isn't that amazing? That blew everybody. Like, that was awesome. Absolutely. And you want to know something cool? Is that I think we beat last year's revenue. We didn't have the tent expense, we didn't have the band expense and all those sorts of things. And even without having the beer for sale, we still did probably better, I think, than last year. So it's amazing, and kudos to everybody who volunteered and helped and came and supported in any way. But people were telling me just how good it felt to be together again, working side by side in the kitchen, you know, and side by side on a common project, and the laughter and the fun and it was fun, a little stressful at times, but fun stress. And there's something about a common project. The other thing I'm thinking about was the rummage sale, which was at St. Vincent de Paul the last couple of days over on the other side of town. Went real well. Again, people had so much fun working together side by side on a common project. It's especially important, I would say, for men, just because we're not the types that are going to sit there over coffee and just stare into each other's eyes and talk about things. We got to be working together on a common project. The building a house, remember when we did Habitat for Humanity as a parish? Wasn't that cool? And just people working side by side on the stuff. We're about to send this out this week. Actually, it went out yesterday. This is the year-end glossy report. It's the annual report for St. Joseph Parish. And it includes all of the numbers, the financials, and things, which I would just say one thing. A billion thanks to all of you. You know what our annual budgeted collection, Sunday collection last year was? $770,000. What we actually took in Sunday collections, even with COVID, from March until July, was $866,000. We almost beat it by $100,000, which came in handy because we had to cancel the carnival. So you'll see here that, you know, the fundraising revenues were not what we expected. Who knew what was coming? But thank God for the generosity of the parish, because even with the pandemic, even without the festival, even without all these things, we still came out ahead. And that's only because of your generosity, for which I give you thanks. And you can take a look at these numbers, but what's better than the numbers is the pictures. and the cool little bullet points of all the cool stuff that we've had. What is this except a summary of all the common projects that we've had together? In our first reading today, we hear the prophet Isaiah singing a song about his friend, because he loved his friend, and they worked together in the vineyard, and they talk all about the vineyard. They worked together. In our psalm today, the vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. Well, we're the house. The church is the house of Israel. And we've worked together on all of these common projects. All of this stuff. Our Jesus in our gospel today talks about another parable of the vineyards. Do you know how many times Jesus talks about vineyards? And how people work together. And you remember Adam and Eve, the very beginning of all creation. God sets that couple in charge of a garden. And he says, now you take care of it. You water it. You plant the seeds. You do the harvesting. I'll take care of the growth. But God gave Adam and Eve work, to a common project to do together before the fall. Sometimes we think that work is a punishment. Work existed before the fall. And what a great gift that God gives us common projects, that we can work together on these things. And so take a look at this and be proud of it, because we have had a lot of common projects this past year. And it's true that we're never closer to each other as human beings as when we're all working together on something, but especially when we're working together on something for the Lord, when we're trying to build his kingdom on earth and fortify it and sanctify it and all those sorts of things. It's a common project that is the best kind, because we're working together for the advancement of the kingdom of love, the kingdom of faith. It's what Mother Theodore Guerin and her sisters, the common project that they did. You think about the fruits of their projects and all the schools and things that exist to this day because these nuns came together in the name of Jesus and did what they did. With Mary, with our Lord's grace, with the community, and they changed the face of the world. The face of the world, our second reading, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just and pure, lovely, gracious, think about these things. Because here's the thing. There's always more goodness in the world than there appears to be, because goodness by its nature is humble. Goodness by its nature is modest and doesn't flout itself in front of everybody. The fasting, the prayers, the almsgivings that we do in secret, which our Heavenly Father sees in secret and repays us. But guess what? There's a lot of that. And when we do it together, when the face of the world is so much more beautiful and so much more filled with faith and love and good things. And so those are my two points today, friends. Pray your rosaries and let's keep up on these common projects that we do in this parish all together in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.